Mitosh.
Welcome back to the Haddonfield Horror Podcast, where we review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Maria.
And today we're reviewing Us, released in 2019, written and directed by Jordan Peele. Maria, can you give the people the plot summary?
Accompanied by her husband, son, and daughter, Adelaide Wilson returns to the beachfront home where she grew up as a child. Haunted by a traumatic experience from the past, Adelaide grows increasingly concerned that something bad is going to happen. Her worst fears soon become a reality when four masked strangers descend upon the house, forcing the Wilsons into a fight for survival. When the masks come off, the family is horrified to learn that each attacker takes the appearance of one of them.
So, Us. I remember seeing this in theaters when it came out, and I was really excited, because this is Jordan Peele's second movie, so going into Get Out, I only really knew him for his comedy. So, like, going in, I was kind of skeptical, but when this was announced, I was 100% in, because it's like, the man who gave us Get Out won't disappoint. And I was just like, I couldn't wait to see, like, what social topic he was going to turn into a horror movie. And I don't know, I think this is a pretty good movie. It's different, it's weird, it's taking a horror trope that we've kind of seen before, and he flipped it, and I enjoyed it. What about you? What are your thoughts, Maria?
I do too. I think out of all the movies, like Jordan Peele movies, this one is probably my favorite. Cause it's so weird. Like, Get Out was amazing. Like, I saw most of his movies in theater, and you know, I loved Get Out, so I was excited for Us, and it really did not disappoint. It's just, I mean, I'll admit, it does have a few, like, plot holes, but, like, they also don't really matter, because the movie's so good. You know, like, it's so, you're, like, throughout the whole movie, you're just so confused as to, like, what's going on, and, like, I just feel like it's a really unique movie, and it really delivered.
And I feel like for, like, the older generation of, like, our parents' generation who were around and about during the 80s, like, using something real from history that they might have known about from when they were kids or teenagers, that is, like, those little small things that he does that just makes everyone see something in the movie that they can connect with. Because I didn't know about the Hands Across America thing ever existed until after this movie, then I Googled and I was like, oh, this was actually a real thing done by Reagan and people who had no idea how geography worked, because that was never going to be possible for the whole Hands Across America thing. Because what about Alaska? What about Hawaii? What about the ocean and the mountains and the desert in certain places? But, you know, that's just me. Hands Across America. Republicans gotta do something. But were there any scenes that stood out for you, Maria? Good, bad, or indifferent?
I guess, like, the beginning scene. Cause I don't know,
the,
like,
boardwalk.
Yeah, I thought that was a good scene. The way it started was good, because automatically you're just kind of hooked, and you're like if you haven't watched any of the previews, you're like, you know, your first thought is, okay, this is going to be, like, a supernatural movie. Like, there's ghosts or demons or whatever going on. And then, also, like, you just don't know what you're getting into. Like, especially the way the movie starts. And the scene where the dad, I think when they first see the family and the dad goes outside trying to scare them. And, like, the mom, like, the Red, she does something with, like, her mouth. And then everybody just scurries off. And he's like, yeah, never mind. I'm going back inside. Like, that scene was scary. Because you're like, what the hell? is going on. Also, the scene where they kill the friends of the family that are like across the way. That scene was so good because it's like they kill off like the daughters all like really fast, and then they kill the mom. Well, not the mom, the dad really fast too, and the mom is like, you know, it's a funny scene, but it's also kind of like, whoa, like what the fuck just happened? And what I really, really also really like specifically about that scene is like when they kill their daughters, instead of, you know, people screaming and yelling, like it cuts out to like the front and it's silence and you just see people in the house getting murdered. And it's like, you
I
know.
love that scene because like it was like the whole like invasion, like house invasion, the ambush was all crazy, and then to cut away to not give us too much like detail into the scene was like perfect.
Yeah, like that was a really good scene. And honestly, the scene with any of like the Shadow Mom, like her raspy voice was like it just made everything so much more like
It was
creepy,
so good.
honestly. Like when she first started talking.
Once upon time.
You're like, what the, like what, like obviously your first reaction isn't like they're clones or twins or whatever, but you're like, what is going on? Like this is so freaky. Like they're not, you know, and then the rest of the family just looks off, you know, which is, you know, it is the whole point, but you're just like I just remember when I first saw the movie and I was just like what is going on right now? The scene where they killed the no th the scene where like the dad faces off with like his clone and like they're struggling because the fucking boat just stopped and you know they're struggling to try to kill each other and the dad just hits him, he just hits himself on the fucking motor and then the boat just starts and you're like okay I guess The scene also, like, honestly, I don't know if this was like on purpose for Jordan Peele to do this, but it's also the fact that the family was just like killing them, you know, just kind of like it was nothing. I thought was a really interesting take, especially when the daughter, I forgot what her name was, where she like killed one of the twins and she's just like hitting her, and it's a little brutal for like for the like it's a little brutal compared to like the kills from the rest of the movie, but then like later on they like talk about it and she was like mom like you know when they're like outside trying to drive off and the girl's just like mom like you should let me drive because I've killed the most people, and then they start having this little not argument, but this little just talk about no, I've killed these many people. Well, I killed this, and it's so normal, you know? I thought it was really interesting. And oh, like also the scene where like the two moms are well, no, like the scene where Adelaide first kills like the tw one of the twins, and she's just so brutal about it, you know, like that scene was also really good because you're just like, you know, like up to that point you were getting just people stabbing or hitting people, but she like went in to that like girl, and you're just like. Okay, and then what adds on to the creepiness is like the son watching her do it, and you just get this little tension of like, oh, not this tension, but just this weird look on both of their faces, and then and then you know like they leave, which you see again later on in that when the two moms are facing off, and Which honestly, I think it's another really good scene when like the clone, like the Red, she's kind of like balleting around, and the mom is just like, I guess best way to say it, not very gracefully trying to stab her, and then like the clone is, stabbing the mom, and the girl, and the mom is still trying to hit her, but she just can't. I feel like it's just a really good scene. It also cuts to like somebody's like ballet performance, and you're just like, I don't know. It was a really good sequence. Up until, the fake mom starts to kind of explain about like what happened and why they're down there, and basically explaining what's going on. Which I don't know. I thought it was a really interesting idea, the whole, it was an experiment and they were all clones, and I mean, I'm glad that they had explained it, but I feel like they kind of over-explained it a little bit, because then you kind of start cutting into it, and you're, like, I think when I first watched it, I was just like, well, like how would that work, and what if this and that, it was a lot more questions. So I feel like if they would have kept the explanation a little bit vague, a little bit more vague, it would have been good.
Yeah, it does lead to like a lot of questions, 'cause it's like, is this only an American thing? Like, but what if someone in America, 'cause everyone in America apparently has this clone, right? But what if me as an American, I leave the country and I move to England and I end up with a British person, or like for a woman, but then that woman gets pregnant by this British man in England. Does like magically poof a British counterpart? Like it like how does it work exactly?
Yeah, so I feel like that explanation part was just not, I mean, it was great, don't get me wrong, 'cause you're like, whoa, but then it's like, well, you start like, the more you think about it, the more you're like, well, I mean, it stops to make sense, I guess. And then the mom like, kills this girl, and then she starts making those like guttural noises, and you're just like even though, the main antagonist is dead, you're still kind of left with like, what is going on? And honestly, that I did not, that twist, I did not see it coming. Like, I was like, no way that like the mom turned out to be the clone the whole time. And like the reason why, the fake mom had a raspy voice was because like the, Adelaide had like choked her. I don't know. I thought it was nuts. I was like, huh.
It's nuts because it makes you like damn, like should I feel sorry for Red now? Because she's actually Adelaide who had her life stolen for her. So it's like damn, like I know all these like tethered people are killing all the Americans, but this has literally only happened because the actual tethered girl stole someone else's life.
And I saw, because I watched The Kill Count 2, and he had mentioned how like there are like theories that the son was tethered to. I mean, I didn't really look into it, but I thought it was like a really interesting idea, because like, because at the end the son is just like staring at the mom, they're kind of just looking at each other like I know, or you're just like, just looking at each other. And honestly, that last scene where you just see all the tethered people, grab like holding hands, and you just see dead bodies everywhere, and it's like, because it's like, I guess it really gets you thinking about like, They managed to do the whole, holding hands thing that they were talking about, which is supposed to bring awareness to what was it?
I think it was either like homelessness or like famine or something.
Well, it's like something that they had actually accomplished compared to like their counterparts that didn't, and you're just like, I don't know, this movie is just, it's a lot to think about.
I want to say for me, I agree with you that the scene in the car when they were like discussing who killed the most people so they can see who are driving or not, that was actually. There's like one of those rare like humor moments in the movie once the action started. So I appreciated that. Every scene with the bunnies confused me. I didn't really get the whole point of the bunnies, like what the hell that was supposed to be about. Bunnies were just there. I love the early beach scenes with both families because it showed that the family who didn't have that much money had actual bond and relationship with their kids, while the rich or like wealthy family pretty much had no interaction with their kids and their kids were spoiled brats. So I like that distinction. A mother scene for me is when the daughter was being chased by the tethered daughter.
Run!
And she took off, and then she looked behind her, and her doppelganger was like on her. That was insane. But that was also really good. The scene when okay, it was kind of creepy because I didn't know. It took me like three times to watch it, but when they're driving by, and you see the homeless man, and his hands are like stretched out on the beach. He's wearing the jacket and it's like red and bloody. And then it cut to later, and now they're wheeling out the actual homeless man, the human. I was like, oh, okay, he was the first to be attacked. I want to say also the scene where the son, when his tethered kills himself, because he was just mimicking what he was doing. And I was like, something, I was like, did he just sacrifice himself so his mom could kidnap the human him? Like, what the hell?
Oh yeah. I was, yeah. I mean, I guess the mom did say that she didn't care for those kids.
I mean, yeah, but like, you don't care for yourself? Like, the hell?
That's true.
And did they ever explain why his face was
I guess you're just supposed to
like.
assume that because he liked to play with fire so much that he burnt himself.
Huh. Okay, that makes sense. And I did like the scene when the kid trapped him in a closet by playing his little trick game. That was cool. I loved all the family stuff when the movie started. It did good to like set all that up. The opening scene that you mentioned was creepy with the beach on the pier. But then when we flashback and we see her like choke Adelaide out and then we see her grin as they switch, it's like, damn. But then it also goes back to like when she was like nervous to actually go back to the beach and go to that beach house. Was like, did you forget what you did and you just feel uneasy because you're back and you don't know why? Or do you feel uneasy because you know what you did and now you're close to where you're actually from? Like it was just weird for me. And another thing, when I mentioned about like if this is only America, like an American thing, because I think they mentioned it was only happening in America. Like, how are they traveling? Like if I'm hopping on a plane from Chicago to New York or Chicago to California, how the hell is my doppelganger getting there?
I wonder if like it just mimics your actions of walking and just sitting and getting up and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, but like, what about interactions? Are they also mimicking? Because it has to be mimicking my interactions. Because if the top people are interacting, meeting people, having babies or whatever, the bottom people are doing the exact same thing. So, but what if I fly to New York and I meet someone, and now I'm with this person in New York? Like, how are those two tethered people get together?
I don't know. Like, that's why,
It
yeah.
just it leaves so many questions, because then it becomes like, if you want to get deep with it, it's like, okay, what about when people are, do they have like doctors mimicking certain procedures or whatever? Like, what if I'm adopting? What if I'm giving this baby? Like, it's just it you're right. They shouldn't have answered the question so much. Because answering a question leads to like all these different possible questions, and then you just get confused by the plot.
Yeah.
But enough about the scenes. What about the kills? What about the kills that stood out for us? I want to say for me, when she killed the mom. That was a good scene. I love that it cut away. And it was kind of funny when she's like, call the police, and it just played NWA's Fuck the Police.
Ophelia. Ophelia, call the police.
Sure, playing Fuck the Police by NWA.
The twins, because no, when the daughter killed the twins, because she just like knocked that girl over the banister, and that was it. And I was like, oh my God. There aren't that many kills in this movie now that I'm thinking about it. But the ones that are there are pretty shocking. The wealthy family, all those kills were, I think that was done pretty well. But what about you, Maria? Any kills that stood out for you? Good, bad, or indifferent?
Yeah, I think like the kills with the twins to me was like really shocking because like it kind of just happened out of nowhere. And you're just kind of like, and the whole backing out of the house and no sound just made it even like creepier. Because you realize how alone they really are, and just to make things very real for a second. So I thought those kills were really good, as well as, when the daughter kills like the fake twins. And it was brutal. I thought it was brutal. Like those kills were good. And I think the mom kill is like a really great one. Cause like I like Adelaide strangles her, which is like a whole full circle of when she strangled her the first time to like take over her life, and now this time she actually does take her life, and you're like, whoa, like it was just not, it's just this, I guess it's just a whole irony of it, really. The kills were pretty brutal, but I also feel like we've seen other movies with like, I don't want to say worse kills, but more gory. Yeah, I think that's what it is. The movie was just not really as gory as the other movies we've seen. So it's just kind of like, especially because I think when they killed the rich mom, no. When they killed the fake mom of like that rich family, I think all they did, they just hit her in the head and she just kind of like went down, and it's like, okay. You're just kind of expecting a little bit more. I think same thing when they killed the rich dad, because they like cut away from that, so you didn't really get to see it, but like he's dead, I don't know. But I mean, it was a good movie regardless.
It was, and it, so many scenes, like, this was a horror movie, but it wasn't like a gore fest. It was more about the psychological horror, the horror of your family's in danger, I'm in danger, what would I do to protect my family? It wasn't about the kills or the slash or the blood. It was about fighting to the death to protect you and your family. Different kind of horror. But the kills were there, but they weren't the star of the show. But, Maria, we're moving on to the characters. I want to start with the friends of the family. Josh and Kitty, the wealthy mom and dad. What are your thoughts on them?
Well, I like what you said earlier about them, that the fact that they were, I guess, kind of there to show that, like, the contrast between them, you know, being richer, but also having, like, the worst family dynamic, especially, like, at the beach, where, like, the dad and the mom are kind of just going in at each other, and it's just very, like, awkward to see. Like, they're funny, but you can kind of just tell that it's just a marriage ready to fall apart, I guess. Which is, you know, really interesting. But, I mean, I think they were kind of just there for, like, comedic relief, though. I don't really have, like, they were funny. And I think the family in general had some of, like, the really great kills. But, like, that's kind of it, really. Their characters themselves, I don't want to say that they didn't make a huge impact, but I guess they are just there just for you to be able to, like, I guess it's part of, like, you know, Jordan Peele's whole, you know, whole meaning for the movie, if that makes sense. You know, just when you're comparing, like, all these families together, like, the rich family, Adelaide's family, and, like, the fake family, all different classes. And I thought, I mean, it was interesting. It definitely helped shape the movie for what it was.
Yeah, they definitely played their part. But I want to move on to Jason / his tethered counterpart, Pluto. Now, were we supposed to believe that Jason was on the spectrum or something? Like, is that the vibe that you got? Because that's the vibe that I got.
Not really. I mean, that's not the vibe I got. I kind of just got that, like, he's a little different.
It was something because I felt like, his tethered counterpart was so out there and so just, like, had these animalistic qualities that I was like, okay, are they saying that Jason had some kind of ailment or some kind of something? Because we're supposed to believe that the tethered aren't that different from the real people. Like, the tethered daughter liked running and she could run fast. It probably faster. So it's like, okay, are you saying something about Jason? But I want to say, other than those, like, last scenes where he was, like, looking at and noticing that his mom was the counterpart, I don't think Jason really played a big role. He was kind of just there reacting. Now, Pluto, the tethered version, he was animalistic. He was growling and crawling on all fours and was like a caveman when he saw fire. Like, it was weird for me. But what about you?
I mean, Pluto was definitely creepy. I mean, I do understand what you're saying about Jason, like, because I do kind of, I see that, like, his main role was, I guess it was, like, being the person who's seeing his mom for what she is.
Do I understand what it means? No. You know? I guess it could have either been the daughter or the son to kind of like, to see like what the mom was doing. Like any other family member could have been replaced. Yeah, I don't know. I do understand. Like, I do see what you mean, because I also don't really have strong opinions about Jason.
I think that's the issue. I think of the four family members, he's the one that I kind of connected with the least.
I feel that. I feel the same way.
What are your thoughts on the daughter Zora and Ombri, her counterpart?
That girl was creepy, and that girl's a murderer. Like I thought it was so interesting what Red said about her, where she was like, "You have such a beautiful daughter, whereas my daughter is evil and out of her mind." And she was like, "And I hate her." And I was like, "Jesus Christ." I just thought it was such an interesting, like, that dynamic was just very interesting, and then it cuts to like that's during that scene, and then it cuts to the daughter and she's just looking at you like with a very creepy smile, and then when she was chasing the real daughter. And she's like about to kill her, she's like on top of the car, and then like that guy comes out and she ends up killing him, and you're just like, okay, like it's very, very interesting. Honestly, I don't really have much opinions about the real daughter. But I think the fake daughter had an impact, because you do kind of see that she is a little unhinged, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think for me, the only thing I could say about the real daughter is that, again, when push came to shove and it was time to protect her family, she stepped up. I mean, granted, her first, she did have to literally fight for her life because her doppelganger was trying to kill her. So, and then the same thing with the twins. The twins were trying to kill her and her brother. So when it was time to protect herself and protect her family, she did what she had to do, and I commend that. But what do we think about the father Gabe and his counterpart Abraham? It seemed to me that the counterpart Abraham was not smart. He also was growling and making weird moaning sounds, and he didn't seem bright. I want to say I want to point this out now. The two, like Red and the daughter, her doppelganger daughter, both seemed smart and cunning. Yeah, the daughter was evil, but she seemed smart and evil. While the dad and the son both just seemed off and like not fully developed. Because they were just growling and grunting. I guess that could be like commentary on like masculinity, but like, what are you? But also, the actual dad, he was funny and goofy and kind of chill. What are your thoughts on Gabe and Abe?
I mean, yeah, Gabe was funny. Definitely, Jordan Peele has his humor, and I think Gabe was just like a really, he was like your regular like just like a dad, you know, like who has all these dad jokes and likes to, you know, scare his kids and, you know, really enjoys going out with his family and stuff like that. And I guess it's because, I mean, because you don't really get a lot of time with the fake dad, especially after, you know, he gets killed. Like really early on in the movie. But it's just kind of like, you know, because I guess Gabe has his moments where he is also a little dumb. And I wonder if the mom, Red, purposely kept the son and the father dumb, and like, and that's why she hates the daughter, because you know the daughter doesn't, you know, has her own free will, I guess, you know what I mean? Like the daughter is smart and the daughter is more
Yeah,
like,
I get that.
I guess, because like the daughter maybe takes I guess because she probably takes more after her than the dad, and she just doesn't like that, or there's like an issue with that, which you know is interesting, because yeah, because I think what you mean, I mean, kind of like to piggyback over what you said earlier about like the son and the dad being like, man, I forgot what you said, being manly and stuff like that, but I think it also.
Like it being a commentary on masculinity, how both of the males are just like grunting and growling.
Yeah, I feel like it might also be a commentary on like the hierarchy of a family, whereas, you know, you tend to hear about how, you know, moms and daughters tend to have some type of weird, you know, just a weird like competition thing going on, and how the moms were like prefer the sons, or were like, you know, or prefer their husbands to be, to not go against them, I guess. You know what I mean? Which would be
Yep.
interesting.
Well, I want to move on to Addie and Red. Now, that's kind of hard because Addie is technically Red and Red is technically Addie, and I kind of feel sorry for Red because like that crazy bitch stole her life and like everything happening is Addie's fault. Like if Addie would have just played her part and stayed down in the underground, then the whole country wouldn't be dead while the doppelgangers are linking their hands across America. So I feel Red was justified, but then Addie also did what she had to do to keep her family safe. What about you? What are your
Well,
thoughts?
like thinking about it, I wonder if Red, you know, already being like the person living up like in the surface level, already had some weird sociopathic psychotic tendencies, which is why Adelaide did what she did and continued to kind of act stupid like she didn't know, but she did. And that's why, because I don't think the clones or the doppelgangers were like killing machines, you know, right off the bat. Like I think Red explains it, and she kind of says how she basically taught them that. Like she had them all wear red, and she gave them scissors, and she basically came up with this whole plan. You know, she like she led them to do this. So realistically, how far off is it that her doppelganger is the same way, you know what I mean? Huh. Like Red
Yeah,
already
I get
had
that.
some tendencies to be like, you know, she was very cult leaderish, having the people around her kill, like, you know, because she wanted, you know, like realistically what she really wanted was revenge, but had convinced all the people like below the surface that, you know, we're gonna do this, but really she wanted to kill Adelaide for what she did. And you know, Adelaide already had, I mean, obviously you see her, you know, she was trying to, I mean, I guess she didn't kill Red, but she still, yeah, took her life and kept her down there. But you know, you see her kill that one fake daughter and kill herself in like such a weird and very brutal way that, I mean, I guess you could feel bad for Red, but it's like they were both really basically the same person, you know? Like Adelaide and Red both had some just.
Like Addie's murderous actions as a kid had to come from somewhere. So it had to be from Red.
That's what I think. 'Cause like I mean
I get with that. I get I can see
yeah,
that
right?
actually.
Like I mean I was literally thinking about this like right now 'cause it's like I don't think the clones were already doing that stuff 'cause they all seem kind of dumb, you know what I mean? But like once Adelaide not Adelaide, once Red got there, she was like you know, managed to get them all together and, you know, convince them to kill people. And they were like, okay.
Well, we've come to the end, but not quite the end. I'm going to give you guys the behind the scenes info and facts. Now, the budget for this movie was $20 million. The box office was $256.1 million. So they definitely made their money back, plus a lot more. Some interesting facts. Jordan Peele finds rabbits frightening. He says, if you put a rabbit brain in a human body, you would have Michael Myers. They would not have any sympathy, empathy. They would rip your head off if they could. They scared me. This is why rabbits are featured in the movie. Jesus Christ. What did a rabbit do to him? I need more context. Adeline coincides anxiety means red. Adeline anxiety means Red is near. For the filmmaker, that's all a sign that Red is physically near Adeline. So marks of like it just her anxiety marks a certain proximity to Red. That's why when they're getting close to the pier and to the beachfront, Addie is having weird feelings because Red is nearby. The Jeremiah 11:11 passage refers to Red's messiahic role to the tethered in the underground. Oh, so you kind of had a point. You're kind of on the money there with the whole cult thing, Maria.
Yay.
The "We're Americans" line is there to both explain and stoke more curiosity. Part of this movie is addressing the conspiracy theories of the government mind control and fluoride in the water. And I thought if there was a group of humans that was powerful enough to create this labyrinth, it would be the Americans, said Jordan Peele. Young Addie is introduced in 1986, sitting alone on a couch watching Hands Across America commercial on TV. Next to the TV are a few VCR tapes, including one of the 1984 horror film Chud, which is about humanoid monsters responsible for a disappearance of mostly people experiencing homelessness living underground. So he was having a little fun and cheek there. Critical reactions. Rotten Tomatoes. This movie has a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Rolling Stone described us as a spill your soda scary horror film compared to the extensively terrifying Get Out. Robert Ebert.com gave the film a 4 out of 4, writing that Us is another thrilling exploration of the past and oppression of this country. And a past that this country is too afraid to bring up. Peele wants us to talk about and has also given the audience the material to think and to feel our way through the darker side of humanity and the American experience. The New Yorker called the film a colossal achievement. Time magazine thought that Peele had too many ideas and not enough answers compared to Get Out, and said Peele goes even deeper into the conflicted territory of class and privilege and race. But enough about them. What do we think? Maria, do we cash or pass us?
Maria? I cash. I think in the beginning, I already said this is my favorite Jordan Peele movie. Definitely enjoy watching it. I do see, like, I mean, it definitely lacks in some way, but, like, I really like it. I enjoy what it's trying to say. I think it's definitely creepy, like, and I think I have the movie actually on DVD, so.
For me, it's a cash. I think I saw this movie like 4 times in the movie theater. It's a good movie. Like I said, coming off of Get Out, I was really excited for Us. I trusted Jordan Peele. I knew that he could deliver this like new like style of horror that was like, that made you think about social constructs and like social issues. It wasn't just horror for horror's sake. It also made you think a lot. And the twist at the end with Addie being Red and Red being Addie and how it all tied back to that opening shot, that in itself makes this movie a cash. Yes, it gets confusing when they start to explain all the, like, how everything works, but if you just, once you're past that, like, yes, that confuses you, but it doesn't ruin the entire movie and the entire experience for you. So for me, it's a full-on cash. So that brings us to the end. But don't forget to tune in next week as we hop into Maria's favorite genre of horror, the found footage subgenre. We're going to be reviewing The Chernobyl Diaries, starring Jesse McCarthy, who is still very attractive, I might add. So, join us next week for The Chernobyl Diaries. Good night. The Haddonfield Horrors Podcast is a Letters to Media production.
Should we do an intro?